After 30 years in the music business, Rosie Flores may not have achieved the household name status of her neo-traditionalist peer Dwight Yoakam. But she has continued to work and play guitar to the delight of fans and critics the world over, including an appearance at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a tribute to the originator of rock and roll guitar, Chuck Berry. She talks with us from the road about her new record, Working Girls Guitar, and her production work on the final record of the late rockabilly original, Janis Martin.
Well, I wanted to make this record, Working Girls Guitar. I wanted to make it kind of, because I was going to be the only guitar player on it as well, I wanted to make it kind of a sort of an album of all the decades that I've been playing music in. And so, of course, I grew up in the 50s, so there's my rockabilly there. And the 60s, I had my surf roots and my Motown roots, which is Little But I'm Loud and Surf Demon number 5. And then I had my Beatles influence in the late 60s. And then it got into more rock and roll after that. So I was really, you know, wanting to show everything from rockabilly to blues and everything in between.
I look at you all, see the love there that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping.
I used a studio in Minneapolis here that Brian Setzer had worked with. With the rhythm section that was the exact same guys that I used. And I heard, you know, some stuff that he had recorded there, and, you know, Tommy V and Noah Levy, who played on the Lonely Avenue record with Brian, turned out to be around and available. And we just said, let's do it. Let's put Rosie in the hot seat and do one with you and let you make the call the shots and play all the guitar and stuff. And as I knew, I wasn't going to sound like Brian Setzer because I'm not the player that he is. But I did know that I could, with a supportive team like that, that I could be the best that I can be.
Well, rock, pop, jump, thump, rock and roll, direct your rocking.
Tell us how it was you came to produce a record with the RCA label made of Elvis Presley, the female Elvis, Janis Martin.
I had asked her if she would, you know, at first I met her over the phone because I called her up. I told her I was the biggest fan she ever had. And she said, oh, people call me all the time and say that. And I, you know, so I ended up canceling the gig to go see her play down in San Diego. And we just hit it off, you know. She called me up on stage to sing Drugs to Rock and Roll with her. And we stayed in touch. I sent her my CDs and we would write each other letters. And I didn't get to see her play again until I worked with her in Seattle, shared a bill with her. And, you know, of course, I saw her when I kind of skipping the part where I went over to her house and had a record on my Rockabilly Philly CD in 95. But in 95, I started in on her and telling her that it was time for her to record another album. And and that I loved working with her in the studio, and that I could so easily make a great record for her, and I had all the greatest musicians, and I know I could help her find a record deal. And it took me about 10 years to finally talk her into it.
You're crazy about love, and I'm crazy about love myself. Well, you're crazy about love, I'm crazy about love myself. When I'm your baby, can't think about nothing else. I've seen so many minutes like looking through a fine comb. I've seen so many minutes like looking through a fine comb. East, south, west, every which way, as long as I'm moving.
When I was working with her pre-production at her house, she started telling me she wasn't feeling well, and she didn't know what was wrong with her, and you know, telling her she needs to go to the doctor, and she goes, oh, I'm afraid of doctors, and I'm like, no, you got to go to the doctor. And she put it off until after she made the record with me, and then it was too late. She found out, you know, just about 3 weeks later that she was, you know, 4-stage cancer, lung cancer. And so we lost her pretty quickly. Like 4 months, she was gone, man. To hear her explain to me how much the record meant to her and everything just brought tears to my eyes of joy. It's, you know, very rewarding to get her feedback on how she was pleased with what we got, you know, and just to be able to give her that was just so rewarding, you know. But it was her time to go, and she's left behind this incredible record called The Blanco Sessions, and it's been selling really well. And Marti Braum and I are out here. Marti was also very tight friends with her, and Marti was her favorite female singer. So Marti promised that when the record came out that she would hit the road with me, and so we share some piano songs out there, and I've been mostly doing lots of songs off my new record, and she does some off of her new record, so it's a pretty fun show.
And we'll get to hear you play guitar throughout.
Through the whole thing. Yes, sir.